Day is Sunday the 15th of April. It's the evening service of the Weatherby House Church. And we had a good day today. And beautiful day here this afternoon. There's a lot of tornadoes all over the place. I think I saw a while ago they said over 175 tornadoes or something today. Anyway, do we have a selection?
372. When thou, my righteous judge, shall come to fetch thy ransomed people home, to fetch thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, who sometimes am afraid to die, be bound at thy right hand? I love to be among them now, before thy gracious feet to bow, before thy gracious feet to bow, the vilest of them all. But can I bear the piercing thought? What if my name shall be left out? What if my name shall be left out when thou for them shall call? Prevented by thy grace, be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place in this accepted day. Thy pardoning voice, oh, let me hear, to still my unbelieving fear, to still my unbelieving fear, and grant me faith, I pray. Let me among thy saints be found, when ere archangel's trump shall sound, when ere archangel's trump shall sound, to see thy smiling face. In loud among the crowd I sing, while heaven's resounding mansions ring, while heaven's resounding mansions ring, with shouts of sovereign grace.
Page 359.
To Cadence land I'm on my way, where the soul of land never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul of land never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. A rose is blooming there for me, where the soul of man never dies. And I will spend eternity where the soul of man never dies. A love light beams across the foam, where the soul of man never dies. It shines to light the shores of home, where the soul of man never dies. My life will end in deathless sleep, where the soul of man never dies. And everlasting joys I'll reap, where the soul of man never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land, where the soul of man never dies. Where there will be no parting kin, and the soul of man never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love, and the soul never dies.
417. Was with an everlasting love that God his own elect embraced before he made the world above or earth on her huge columns placed. Long ere the sun's refulgence rays, primeval shades and darkness strove, they on his sacred bosom light, love with an everlasting love. And in his love and his decrees, Christ and his bride and purest one, her sin by imputation is, while she in spotless splendor is shown. O love, how high thy glory swell, how great, immutable, and free, 10,000 sins as black as hell are swallowed up, O love, by thee. Believer, hear thy comfort stands, from first to last salvation's free, and everlasting love demands, and everlasting song from thee.
Page 360.
Shed not a tear, O your friend, early buyer, when I am gone, when I am gone. Smile when this low tolling bell you shall hear, when I am gone. Weep not for me as you stand around my grave. Think who has died his beloved to save. Think of the crown all the ransom shall wear. When I am gone, shed not a tear as you all in prayer. When I am gone, sing a sweet song when my grave you shall see. When I am gone, sing to the Lamb who on earth once was slain. Sing to the Lamb who in heaven doth reign. Sing till the earth shall be filled with his name. When I am gone, plant you a rose that shall bloom o'er my grave. When I am gone, sing a sweet song such as angels may have. When I am gone, praise ye the Lord that I'm free from all care. Praise ye the Lord that my joys you shall share. Look up on high and believe that I'm there. When I am gone.
Ward 34.
When Moses and the Israelites from Egypt's land did flee, behind them were Pharaoh's host, in front of them the sea. God raised the waters like a wall and opened up the way. The God that lived in olden times is just the same today. He's just the same today. He's just the same today. The God that lived in olden times is just the same today. When David and Goliath met the wrong against the right, the giant armed with human strength and David with God's might, God sent a stone by David, sling the giant's loaded leg. And the God that lived in the olden times is still the same today. When Daniel, faithful to his God, would not bow down to men, and by his enemies were hurled into the lion's den, God shut the lion's mouth, we read, and robbed them of their prey. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. When Pentecost is full, they come, and fire from heaven did fall. The Savior with the Holy Ghost baptized in one and all. 3,000 were converted and were added right away. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. He's just the same today. He's just the same today. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. last one before we change over to the other part of the service. 517. How can I, a lowly mortal, born an earthling formed of clay, seek to praise the Lord Jehovah, who has turned my night to day? How can such a one of Adam, long estranged from God above, hope to find His blessed favor, hope to know His blessed love? For His eye is far too pure to look upon this simple frame. His unperfect being never can accept my sin and shame. Oh, that I knew where to seek Him, oh, that He might smile on me. But unless my sin is covered, such a joy can never be. But oh, listen, do you hear it? Do you hear that glad new song? It is telling how the Savior has been sent to claim His own. Blessed Jesus died to save me from the fatal sting. Now I know that He's my Savior, praises to my Lord and King.
Dear Lord, we pray that You would go with us today, and we pray that You would help us in this service tonight, that we would glorify Your name in everything that is said and done. Yes, You would open our minds to Your word and our hearts to it. Pray that You would give us a good week. Protect us from our enemies. Help us to be ready for Your coming. In Christ's name we pray. There's no doubt that the prophecies are coming into fruition. It says that there are going to be perilous times in the last days. Men are going to be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God, because the days are evil. And, you know, you can see where people's minds are at when you go into a fast food place and just look around, see what people are talking about, what their minds are focusing on, what their conversation is about. It's not about eternal things, that's for sure. It's about sports, politics, family, fun, vacations, and all of that stuff. It's not, doesn't have anything to do with about God or His Word or anything remotely associated with it. Why has there been such a moral decay in this country, in the United States? Why has there been such a change, even in the last 10 years, from people focusing on spiritual things at one time in this country, and now they're focusing on everything but spiritual things? It's a good question. You know, we see how that our society has become so driven by what other people think about them. What other people think about them, what they wear, what they drive, where they live, who they know, who they associate with, what clubs and so on that they are affiliated with, what political party they're affiliated with. All of those things are affected by by the peer pressures that are going on in our society. Well, peer pressure has always been. Started in the Garden of Eden with the pressure, the subtleness of the serpent with Eve. And then it went on right on from Eve to Adam and right on down through the lineage of Adam all the way down to today. The pressures of other people putting on other people to do certain things, to conform, to be a part of something. Now, we see it also in Paul's life when he was the Saul of Tarsus. Yeah, he breathed out threatenings and slaughter, and he bound people up and cast them into prison. Did everything he could to come against the Christians, those who were followers of Christ. There was a whole mass of people that wanted to see the Christians done away with. And they were successful in getting rid of all of his disciples. They crucified Jesus Christ and all but John. They got away with. They martyred. They murdered. Cold blood. The peer pressures of society were against the Christians and always has been. There's a little booklet that we have done a series of messages on called The Trail of Blood, and it talks about all the way from the New Testament church down to this very day, there's been a trail of blood perpetrated on those who are following Christ. Persecuted for Christ's sake. And that's why today you can't really tell any difference when you go into when you listen to one of the mega pastors, whoever it is, whether it's Joe Steen or Bill Hybels or Rick Warren or most of the you know, big time mega church pastors. You can't really tell a lot different from them than if you were going to your local psychologist to get counseling and therapy for your problems, because they have so enveloped into their theological construct the psychology of today, the humanistic psychology, that you can't really separate out what is Bible and what is psychology. It's so intermersed. That's why you have all of these Christian, so-called Christian counselors and Christian psychologists and Christian marriage counselors, and they always put the Christian in front of it, don't they? Sometimes, you know, when you're thinking about these things, you say, is there a group of people who are still holding on to the Word of God as their foundation? Or have all people relinquished the Word of God for something else? Have they replaced something else? Have they replaced the Word of God with something else? Have they? You know, if you look at the old hymns of the faith and the words in some of those old hymns, Top Lady and Cowper, some of the old hymns, and now you look at the new hymns of today, it's based more on emotions and feelings of today rather than doctrinal lyrics. The lyrics of today's music, praise and worship, pull downstream music in churches, is far different than the old hymns of the faith. The very Bibles that are used in the pulpits today are much different than the Bibles used in the pulpits of the past. The Bibles of yesteryear were Bibles that were had the King James Version on them. And they had not only the King James Version on them, but they were, many of them had very exhaustive concordances in the back, and they had center references where you could reference and look up the other passages of Scripture that correlate to those passages. Today, we have paraphrased versions of the Living Bible. We have the New King James Version Bible, the Revised Standard Version, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, the New English Translation, the World Translation, and so many others. So even those, you know, I was recently looking at a book that was sent to me, and this book was about heaven, or is about it. And I got the major turnoff when I see on the front cover of the book, Rick Warren said it was the best book he'd ever read on heaven. I don't want to read anything that Rick Warren endorses. And then I get to looking in the book, and it's full of C.S. Lewis, and it's nothing more than an ecumenical, it's pushing ecumenicalism, because it's promoting all these different people, from Arminians to Pelagians to Roman Catholics to C.S. Lewis to Billy Graham to you name it. You know, J.R. Tolkien. I mean, what is happening in our society when our society has given up its foundational truths that the Christian should hold very dear? What has happened? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And there will be earthquakes in diverse places. And we look in the 24th chapter of Matthew, we see all of these things. But tonight, I just really was wanting more than anything for us to look around and observe the changes that have happened in this last decade. And then ask yourself this question. If we've seen all of these changes in the last 10 years, what are we going to see in the next 10 years? If we've seen the moral decay of our society in the last 10 years go down as much as it has, what are we going to see in the next 10 years? Here we see the almost, now it's gotten to the point where it's almost accepted. Gay marriage is now almost accepted in the United States. It's almost mandated that you accept it. And it's also accepted with multiple marriages, multiple mixed families, people who have been married multiple times and have children by multiple partners, and multiple partners living together, and we know that bestiality is accepted in some areas now. And we look over in Europe and we see the just absolute corruption, not only in the financial arena, but also in the social arena as far as pornography. And we know pornography is running rampant in the United States. And you might be listening to me and saying, well, why are you recapping all of this stuff? Why are you dwelling on all of this stuff? Well, I think that we need to be examining the times that we're living in. I think we need to to be examining. There used to be a song they sang a few years ago, "In times like these we need a Savior. In times like these we need an anchor." Be very sure your anchor holds. Well, the only way we can be sure that our anchor holds is if our anchor holds on to us. Christ, if we are Christ, we will be preserved in our faith. And but remember that something happened, and we've talked about this before, but something happened in Saul of Tarsus' life. Something happened. Here he had was under all of this peer pressure, and he was causing a lot of this animosity that was directed toward the Christians, and he was very hostile against anything remotely associated with Christianity. And then there was this big change in his life, and it didn't have anything to do with him, did it? Well, that same thing can happen to those who are, that same thing will happen to all of those who are elect children of God. It's most assuredly guaranteed that it will happen. You know, we cannot add to or take away from God's elect. We cannot add to or take away from those who are God's people. And this foundation of God stands assured. He knows who are His. And as many as are ordained to eternal life will be saved. And there are those in this society who are God's elect. They may be a very small remnant. It might be just 7,000 people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. We don't know the exact number of the remnant, but we know that God has always had His people in every dispensation of time. And we also know that even in the Dark Ages, when Roman Catholicism was spreading its ugly head, that there were still those who never went into Rome, never went into Roman Catholicism, and many of them died for their faith. So the question that we ask tonight is, are you ready to die for your faith? Are you willing to die for your faith? Are you willing to have your head chopped off for your faith? Are you willing to be put in prison? Are you willing to be tortured and maimed and have your family taken away from you? Are you willing to do that for the cause of Christ and for the faith that He has placed within your heart? I hope everyone that hears this is will answer with a resounding yes. I'm willing to do all of those things. Now, Christ Himself said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, isn't that true? We have a physical body, and we have emotions, and we want to be accepted by other people, and we want to be a part of a group, and we want to have unity, and we want to have joy, and we want to have fellowship and brothers and sisters in Christ, and all of that. It's a natural thing. A natural thing, not necessarily a spiritual thing. But you know what? Jesus said, if you're not willing to forsake even father and mother, you're not worthy of Me. Sometimes we have to forsake those that we love the most dearly because of the fact that we realize that there's a great battle going on for the hearts and the minds of God's people, but we know that God's people will prevail because God has paid the price for their sins, and they will endure until the end. Do we have a selection?
297.
297.
There is a happy land far, far away, where saints in glory stand, bright, bright as day. Oh, how they sweetly sing, worthy is our Savior King. Loud let his praises ring, praise, praise, praise. Go to that happy land, Christ went away. Who does in glory stand while we delay? Oh, we shall happy be when from sin and sorrow free, Lord, we shall live with thee, blessed, blessed, pray. Bright in that happy land beams every eye, kept by a Father's hand, love can abide. Oh, then to glory run, soon we'll share this glorious home, and bright above the sun will reign forever.
202. Conclude this service. 202.
When the storm in its fury on Galilee fell and lifted its waters on high, and the faithless disciples were caught in the spell, Jesus whispered, "Fear not, it is I, it is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I." In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the wind, fear not, trembling one, it is I. The storm could not bear me, that word in the wind, 'twas taught through the tempest to fly. It shall reach his disciples in every age, saying, be not afraid, it is I. When the spirit is broken with sorrow and care, and comfort is ready to die, then darkness shall pass and the sunshine appear by the life-giving word, it is I. When death is at hand and this cottage of clay is left with a tremulous sigh, the gracious Redeemer will light all the way, saying, be not afraid, it is I. It is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I.
I have one more. Page 4, to our Redeemer's glorious name.
For man, O miracle smile of grace, for man the Savior blessed. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. And then I hope to sing this love in sweeter strains on high.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would go with us this week, that you would help us to continue in your word and help us to resist evil and temptation and flee to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.